Welcome back to The Exchange on KUCB. I'm Stephanie Joyce. In the second segment of our program today, I'm joined by local author Cora Holmes, who's writing a new book that's tentatively titled Alaska's Wild West. The book is about ranch wars on Unalaska Island around the turn of the century. Thanks for joining me, Cora.
Hi. Yes. I don't think anybody really thinks about Unalaska Island as having cowboy fights and sheep and cattle fights, although it really wasn't sheep and cattle because it was mostly just sheep. But in the very early part of the 20th century, two companies unloaded sheep in Chernovsky Harbor and started a range war that lasted for decades.
And I want to follow up on that for sure, but just let me remind listeners that they can call in with their questions. We aren't able to take calls on the air today, but Jane is answering the phone, and we'll make sure that those messages get to me here in the studio. So if you have questions about ranching in the Aleutians, either now or at the turn of the century, give us a call, 581-2161. So these two companies, they started basically a range war here in the Aleutians, and I understand it was quite vicious. Can you explain that?
Well, unfortunately, there are two really nice islands that had a lot of range on them, Umnak and Unalaska, but there's only one harbor, and that's Chernovsky Harbor. There's no harbor on Umnak at all. So the government in 1912, Alaska became a territory, and when that happened, they started issuing leases, and they started assigning game wardens out here. So the government decided that they could give all of one island to one company and all of the other island to the other company, except the company that had Umnak would also have 2 mile square harbor footage in Chernovsky. And that would have been fine, except that company decided to teepee creep over on the other company's land and started applying for claims, water claims, mining claims, whatever they could think of, and it got fairly heated.
Wow. And so how did you find out about this? How did you end up getting interested in this topic?
Well, I lived at Chernovsky for 17 years. My late husband owned the ranch at Chernovsky for about 35 years. And in going through his papers, I mean, Milton and I were always going to write this book, but we never did get around to it. But going through his papers, I found a diary from 1918 of one of the original experimental shepherds who was on the Nikolsky with 210 sheep. And it was just very interesting, and I thought, wow, if I can chronologically find enough information, I'll try to put this together in a history. So I just started looking, and Alex Gutierrez, who used to work here, she just happened to live in Washington, D.C., and a lot of information that I needed was at the Smithsonian, and she went to the Smithsonian for me twice and got information, which was very, very interesting because that was the game warden's stuff, the fish and game information.
So you're using mostly diaries and sort of these old documents from the fish and game folk out here and other primary
letters. I've been really, really fortunate because I write for Country Magazine, and people would say, well, you know, my grandmother's uncle was up there in the 30s, and I'm sending you these photographs and copies of letters that might be of interest to you. And a lot of history is just people telling on each other anyway, even if it was George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. It's just letters back and forth of people, well, he did this and she did that, and I'm mad about this, and I'm not going to take that. And so those letters started making a pattern, and then I found the Bishop collection. My husband purchased the ranch from Bill Bishop in 1964, and Bill Bishop's dad, Roy Bishop, was the one who purchased it. He purchased both of them, so that ended the range wars, like in about 1937, and the Bishops were part of the Pendleton Woolen Mills family in Oregon. So that's how we came to, so we got all that. And then I found Bill Bishop, who actually is still alive. He's way up in his 90s, but he lives in Portland, and he had a lot of information, and he gave me access to all of his documents, and all those documents went through the Second World War, all his letters to his people. Because during the Second World War, when everyone was evacuated, Chernofsky Ranch was not evacuated. Perhaps because they were not natives working at the ranch, maybe the natives were, but the manager, the foreman, stayed right there. And however they did it, they got soldiers to come over and shear the sheep. I've got many letters from veterans who came to Chernofsky and sheared sheep and loved it and even sent me their pay stub things to prove and pictures of sort of their R&R during the war to get to go over to the ranch.
What an incredible tidbit of sort of lost history. That,
yes.
And so it sounds like you really have documents, you know, that span all the way from 1918 through the 40s,
mm-hmm.
Which... And are most of these documents, you know, previously unsourced, unwritten about?
Pretty much. And I caught an email just in passing from someone who said, "Treasure trove of Unalaska history." So I contacted those people. They live in Homer. Their name is Kranich, and Bob Kranich worked at Chernofsky Sheep Ranch from 1927 to 1935. And his son sent me 450 photographs and thousands of pages of documents that are just... So, to me anyway, it's very, very interesting. This history is... I love revisiting that because I lived it and because it was such an interesting time.
And so what are some of the most interesting, I guess, tidbits that you've found out that people might not know about the history of this island or the history of the state even?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. One of the things that I'm working on right now, of course, is the first little white boy that was at Chernofsky, because that was interesting to me. He came out when he was 6, and, of course, he went to school, correspondence school, Calvert School. His mom taught him, and he has a copybook with 18 essays in it of all his habits of daily living. He writes to his little cousin, "Dear Roland, I bet you wonder what I do up here all day. Well, I take out the ashes, and sometimes I help with the sheep. And my dad crawled out on a ledge and got me a little eagle." So he had a little pet eagle. And in 1932, there was a bounty on eagles. It was not illegal to touch an eagle. It was difficult, perhaps, but you got a dollar for a pair of talons. From 1917 to 1953, eagles were a fair game.
Wow, so just a real insight into a whole different era. And, you know, it seems like this is a bit of a deviation from your previous work, which has been mostly memoir. This is more of a reported nonfiction book. What have been some of the biggest challenges for you going about writing this book?
Can't make anything up. That's what's so nice about fiction, because I do like to write fantasy fiction. Just go off in a different world, and whatever you say goes. Here, just like that eagle thing, when I was writing that down about the eagle, I thought, well, I can't say that. I've got to find out why somebody could legally go rob an eagle's nest. So then I spend an afternoon researching eagle bounty. So I'm most of my concerns are, is this factual? I don't want to make a mistake. Compiling history is different than writing fiction. And even, I don't know, this is not going to be a history book. This is going to be an anecdotal history, because that's the only way I know how to write. So, and it will be. I'm doing short biographies of the whole cast of characters. Then they are going to tell that story chronologically with letters, documents, and historical, governmental laws. A lot of it was the post office and transportation and shipping, huge obstacles. And I can chronologically put that into place too.
And when are you hoping to get the book published?
I'm hoping to have it finished by the summer of 2014. We are tentatively hoping to have a show at the museum here in the Aleutians with the Kraniches and, you know, whoever may still be alive that might be able to come out. One thing that's really kind of interesting that I had never known about here was the first United States senator, like Mark Begich, the first one from the state of Alaska, owned the sheep ranch at Nikolsky. Arthur J. Harris was our first United States senator.
And did he own the sheep ranch while he was a senator?
Yes, he did. And I have letters back and forth. Of course, he and my husband were friends, and pictures of them together. And better, I have his campaign ads out of the Seward Gateway newspaper where he was, and the Mailboat Monitor, which was a little newspaper that the Garland put out, the boat that brought the mail. And he would say, vote for me, vote for me. And his daughter is still alive and lives back east, and she sent me quite a bit of information about him, too.
Wow. Well, it sounds like there's going to be a lot to learn about Aleutian history from your book, and I'm looking forward to reading it.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for coming in and talking with us.